Hey everybody, welcome to Uncomplicated Truth Talk with your host, licensed Christian counselors, Dr. Kim and Naomi. Each episode, you will hear the truth of the Word of God in a relaxed, real, and authentic conversation that help you navigate the issues in life and help you stay in the lane God has for you. So grab your coffee and listen to Uncomplicated Truth Talk with Dr. Kim and Naomi.
Here we go. All right.
How's it going?
Good. Busy week. You had a busy week. I had a busy week. And here we are.
A new month.
My gosh, this time is flying.
April. Wow.
I mean, honestly, what happened to January? What happened to February?
And then March is a blur.
Total blur.
Yeah.
Total blur.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah, it just reminds me, though, like, I was in my study experiencing God, and someone got a word that the Lord was saying, just don't overlook the little things.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a good, that's a good word.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when time is flying.
Yeah.
Like, don't overlook the little things.
Yeah, that is a good word.
Yes.
For sure.
And I've been trying to be aware of that, the little mercies that are new every morning, that's just starting to come alive in my world. Mm-hmm. Just trying to be aware of that. Things like that, just because time will not, it's not going to stop and slow down, you know, so.
Don't you think like things are even amping up?
Yes, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Because when you think it can't get any faster, it is.
It is, and time is flying. It's just flying by. I mean,
I wonder what that means in the supernatural.
Yeah, I do.
You know what
wonder.
I mean? Like,
what does that mean? Are they up there going, man, down there it's slow?
Or if it's getting faster and feeling faster for us, is it actually getting faster up there too? That's a question.
Well, what's the scripture about?
The one I don't like?
Yeah.
Where is that? I don't know because I don't like it.
Like the one about a day is...
I know.
Yeah, I can't read.
A day to us is 1,000 years to the Lord. I'm like, what?
So 1,000 years or 1,000 days?
Girl, it's years.
Years? I don't know.
I think it's years because I think about...
A day is 1,000?
It's only been like a couple days for you, Lord.
Right.
Please don't.
But please. Don't you see things like even around the world, like, and I'm talking not good things that are happening.
Yeah.
I mean, did you happen to
probably not. What?
Listen to it just came out a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Maybe a couple weeks ago, a week ago, Pastor Jack's podcast on the rapture is happening now.
No.
Oh, my
goodness.
What does
that mean, the rapture is happening now?
He recorded as if.
Oh.
As if. He's not even here anymore, and he left behind a recording.
Really?
Powerful. Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to it.
Okay.
And what's cool is he's going to have flash drives available for people to get to leave them around for those who are left behind.
Oh.
That explains what they're in. We're not going to be in it. We'll be in heaven.
I just had a thought, like, people that are unbelievers or don't know what the word says probably think we're crazy.
He even says it in there.
Really?
Yeah, he even says,
we're crazy.
And you all are probably thinking, no, we're just a bunch of crazy people.
Well, yeah, thinking that we're going to poof, go up into heaven.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says. And he's like, and guess what? We're in heaven and you're not. He says that. And I was like, wow, this is powerful.
Oh, gee, that was straight to the jugular.
Yeah, it was. And he's telling those who are left behind
what to do.
Now you have one choice, and that's to die for Christ.
And this is literally your last chance. Literally,
right.
You
yeah.
are. No. Literally.
Like you don't get to, you get to choose to die for Christ.
Yeah.
Because you are going to die.
Or some won't die for Christ.
Right.
But they're still going to die.
And it ain't going to be pretty.
Oh,
he even says even these people who are left behind, he even says, you won't die a nice death. No, you're going to be beheaded. He just gets it in there.
Oh, yikes.
He does. And it's like, well,
I mean,
he's reading scripture.
Yeah.
And he's saying, if you could get your hands on one of these, one of these Bibles, you probably should.
And here's just the thing. Even if you're not a religious person or have read the Bible, or if you know, read enough to see that there's many prophetic things that have already passed.
Yeah.
So what are the odds that this one's not going to pass if there have been multiple prophetic things in the Bible? No other book.
Right.
No other book.
Right.
There is. And the entire universe has been fulfilled prophecy.
Right.
But this one. Okay, so let's just logically make sense that, well, if this Bible had multiple things that have been prophetic and have come to pass,
they've already occurred.
Then this one with the rapture and everything in Revelation probably is going to happen.
Yeah.
Just logically, even if you're not a spiritual person.
Right.
Logic.
Girl, I don't know. That podcast it's pretty powerful, and I'm glad I'm on the other side of it.
Well, yeah.
And I won't be on the receiving end of that podcast when Jesus returns.
Ooh.
Yeah. Something.
But even as believers, just to think, how amazing is that going to be when you hear the trumpet?
Yeah.
This is just me. The part that I love the best to, I'm not saying this right. The part that I, because I'm getting excited, the part that I love the most is envisioning God the Father on his throne and Jesus sitting next to him. And all he does is turns around. He says, go get him.
It's time.
Go get him.
Yeah.
Go get my bride.
Oh,
that is
that
the
gives
part.
Me chills.
That's the part I'm like, what? Because Jesus doesn't even know when.
No.
Isn't that amazing too?
Yeah. It's so amazing.
So, I mean, but it's just shows the biggest plan and the love that God has, because Jesus is not stop interceding.
No.
Because he doesn't even have any idea when he's going to say, it's time, go get him.
Right.
So he's just working. He's still working for us.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, Jesus is still working, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy Spirit, they're still working for us.
Absolutely.
For the believer in helping us, and for the unbeliever to get saved.
Before.
For sanctification and salvation.
Right. Right.
Oh,
and
wow. Oh, that's exciting.
He doesn't want anybody left behind.
No, he is still working.
Yeah. But people, man, you need to listen to Pastor Jack's
listen to that today.
That podcast and send it to people.
Yeah. Even if they think you're crazy, who cares? Wouldn't you rather them think you're crazy and give them a chance to be saved than to try to save face and save your reputation?
On our church group text, we were like coming up with ideas of where we're going to leave the flash drives.
Yeah.
I mean, on your phone, because guess what? Your phone's going on the ground when you're raptured. But somebody's going to pick it up, and they're going to wonder, what's this flash drive attached to your phone?
Oh.
And the flash drive's going to have Pastor Jack on there talking about, you missed the boat. Here you are. This is why everybody is gone.
It wasn't an alien abduction.
He even says that. Girl. He even says that.
Really?
Yes, he does. He says, and...
they're going to lie to you.
They're going to lie to you. Aliens didn't take us up.
Don't be deceived.
Yeah.
Again.
Right.
Wow.
I know, it's powerful.
Wow.
For sure. So, we don't really have a segue into what we're talking about today. Do we? Maybe?
That's weird.
I know.
That's not our normal.
I know. We usually like click it together.
Yeah.
But don't have one.
Okay.
So why don't we just.
We really diverted.
Right. Why don't we just talk about enabling versus empowering?
Yes.
How many people enable somebody in their family or, you know.
Yeah.
Enable.
And do you even know you're enabling?
I wrote this down. Enabling is offering the wrong kind of help. It equals dysfunction. Anything that stands in the way of someone experiencing consequences for their own behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you enabling so the addict in your life doesn't get thrown in jail? Are you trying to clean up the mess?
Right.
Are you trying to, because you know this, but a friend of ours took his life on the 12th of March. And unfortunately, there was a lot of enabling in that family. And it ended in a lot of financial crisis, and because there were no boundaries. And so enabling can lead to your own demise.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have boundaries with those people that don't suffer consequences right. because of their own behavior.
Right, and then they don't learn.
They don't learn.
How do they learn then to get out of that cycle of stop repeating the same pattern?
Right. I mean, and it starts when they're kids.
Yes.
It starts when they're kids.
Yes.
Because you don't want to sit in a restaurant and actually engage with your kids. So, you know, they got a phone or an iPad or tablet in front of them. And then they pitch a fit when you don't have it.
Right.
So what do? You drive back home, you go get it, and then you go back out to the restaurant. That's enabling.
Yeah.
And it starts
and
there.
And it's not teaching them proper manners at a table.
What about just, we were with a couple of our Illinois friends. We're sitting in this, at this restaurant, and to the side of us, there was two kids and it looked like two moms. The moms were busy doing their thing and the kids had the headphones on, the iPads. Nobody was engaging with anybody except for the two moms engaging with each other. Then they left and then four adults sat down and we look over and all four are on their phone.
Oh, wow.
And it's like didn't you come to the restaurant to like...
Fellowship?
Yeah.
Talk? To interact?
To interact.
Yeah.
Just so weird. Why do people enable?
Right.
And it's creating people who can't go out to dinner and have adult conversations with each other.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, all this social media has trained your kids to have, anxiety when they're out. Oh. With humans, and it's not their phone. It's, you know, it's giving them bad empowerment to be mean and cruel over some kids, not all kids.
Oh, sure.
Because it's just a phone, and they're not face-to-face with somebody. But it's teaching them not to be able to communicate.
I had somebody has a teenager, and the teenager flips out when the consequence is taking the phone away, flips out, like loses their mind.
They're addicted.
And it's like,
it's an addiction if you act like that.
It's that bad,
yeah,
that you can't go without your phone. What is happening here? The person doesn't have social media on the phone, but it's just a constant barrage of texting and.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know. Now I'm really like dating myself, but back in the day, right, we had to pick up a telephone that, right, had a cord on it.
Yes.
And it was hanging on the wall.
Yes. We did not have cell phones or social media.
No. So like, what did we do back then? Oh, I don't know. We sat with people and actually talked, or, you, yeah, know, we went outside and we played.
Right. We went places.
But enabling.
Yeah. It does really start people with the kids.
Yeah.
Kids need to, you know, going back to having consequences, you can't be their friend first.
No.
You have to be the parent that shows discipline. And kids, you know, even in the Bible it says use the rod.
Yeah.
So that inflicts pain.
What about like enabling your grown children? Mm-hmm. That's a thing. For sure.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the situation with our friend. You know, it's just a constant enabling of grown children who are entitled.
Yeah.
Here's another thing I wrote down. Enabling encourages idleness and lack of responsibility and entitlement.
Yeah. Yuck. Yeah, a lot of kids have this sense that they're entitled to things.
Oh, my
goodness.
Well, my goodness.
Friend has that. I should have that.
Do you know, I had a client one time, granddaughter, had to have top of the line brand everything. I mean, in high school, wearing $1,000 pair of boots.
No.
Wearing, you know, the latest Gucci handbag.
No.
Nothing less than that.
Wow.
I was blown away.
Wow.
Blown away. And wow. I kept thinking back to when Taylor was a little girl. I didn't have to clothe that girl for, I know, at least until she was 5. Because one of our Illinois friends, her daughter was a couple years older than Taylor. Mm-hmm. I would get a box of clothes every month, mm-hmm, from her, you know. And really, I mean, we joke about this, but Taylor lived in Target stretchy pants.
Right. Right.
With her diaper butt, you know. Yeah. Because I'm like, she's on the floor, right, most of her life right now.
Yeah.
We don't need anything other than that.
Right. So it's not the kids' fault.
Nope.
It's not the parents, kids' fault.
Parents.
Yeah.
Enabling your grown children. So what about that story in Mark?
Oh, yes. So Jesus even taught us that he does not enable. Mm. I use this scripture a lot in counseling for a lot of reasons, but we're just going to hone in on the enabling part of this. But it's in Mark 6. We're going to start, what verse did I 47? Say?
47.
47, yes. Okay, so just some background info. This is when Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with the disciples. And he went off to the mountain to be by himself, to get regenerated, refilled, be alone with the Holy Spirit, pray, decompress, all that what we have to do sometimes when we're with crowds or entertaining. So he told the disciples to go ahead and start making their way to the other side of Bethsaida. So they got into the boat and they started rowing across. And Jesus, now it's nighttime, he had come down to join them, and he was standing on the land. Okay, so verse 47 says, "Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by.
Amazing.
Here's the thing that I envision. Okay, the disciples, his kids, because he's the father.
Yeah.
Okay, kids are in the boat.
Yeah.
Father's standing panicking on the shore watching them. He's not, if you notice, Jesus is calm and cool.
Yeah, he's not getting he's not getting uptight about what's happening on the sea.
Yeah, he's watching them and they're starting to have a difficult time.
Yeah.
They're straining. They're probably showing some distress, getting upset,
panicking.
A little panic. And he did not go out there and rescue them.
No.
He didn't run after them.
Nope. He sure didn't.
Because it even says, so he's standing at the on the seashore, on the shore, and it says now about the fourth watch of the night. So he really let them strain for a while.
Yeah.
And then it says he got a little closer.
Right.
He still didn't rescue them.
Yeah.
He still didn't rescue them. But it wasn't, and I didn't, if I read a little further, it talks about how they started to cry out and were pleading for help, and then he came in to the boat and said, "Do not be afraid." He got into the boat and the wind ceased.
He's still calm.
Yes.
He's calm.
Yes. Yes. And it makes me think, because this just happened, when we teach our children how to drive.
Oh my goodness. I had a client this week.
I did too.
Whose daughter is, you know, learning how to drive and taking the test and not doing well. And
aww.
Yep.
But think how, you know, I had to kind of help instruct the parent that when you yell in the midst.
And every parent does
it. Yes, we all do it. And I'm not saying that I didn't do it, but what I found that works better.
I just remember that.
Works a lot better.
Yeah. Is stay calm.
You have to stay calm in that situation, because think about your child.
Right.
Think about your child. Their whole body's probably tense.
Right.
Because I remember back in the day, mine, like my legs were even tense.
White knuckling
it. My quads were tense, my calves. And you're trying to drive this vehicle like, I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to kill anybody,
right?
You know, and trying to think of all the rules of driving.
Right.
And you're yelling, saying, stop, stop, stop. It's going to be red.
Yeah.
You know,
your
kid is panicked then. Uh-huh. They're already heightened.
Right.
So what I have instructed her, because he confided in me and said that, you know, he was a little upset with her because, you know, that had happened. So I said, hey, what I found myself doing is, like, for example, when you're coming up to a stop light and you're going to turn left and there's three lanes.
Gosh.
So what
that's
I would
confusing.
Say, I would say, hey, at the red light when we're sitting there, I say, okay, now look ahead of you and see how there's three lanes turning left. Make sure you stay right behind the car behind you and you follow the lane. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You instruct calmly.
Right.
In those moments that you're able to speak and they're at stop. Or calmly say, just want to make sure you see the stop sign ahead of you.
Yeah.
Just remember you got to do a complete stop.
Right.
And go. I do remember having to do that. Now, my kids might tell you a whole nother story.
Yeah, right. They're listening to the podcast going, that's not what you did, Mom.
Well,
you were not that calm.
Right. I know I was not 100% of the time. But I do remember at least trying to do that after I probably made a couple boo-boos. But thank God we're past that.
Isn't that something? Because, you know, every parent has experienced that. Because, I mean,
and kids, you're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, when you grow up and have kids too, so you might as well just go ahead and apologize to your parents now.
Yeah, you're going to do the exact same thing. As much as you're mad at your parents for yelling and think that they're the worst teachers on driving, you're going to do the exact same thing.
But you know what? That was just like Jesus. He just was calm. Even when he saw, okay, these kids of mine, they are so messed up right now.
Right.
They are all different kinds of ways tangled up.
thinking they have their eyes on the storm.
Yeah.
All they have to do is cry out and ask for help.
Right.
But they haven't done that yet.
Nope.
I'm going to get a little bit closer because I really love them.
Right.
So you can see the love of the Father.
Yeah, you can.
Because guess what? His eyes never turned from them.
Right.
Standing on the land.
He always had his eye on them.
His eyes were constantly on his kids.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, they're really having a hard time. I'm going to get a little closer.
Right.
And it wasn't until you invited the Lord into your boat. Come on.
Right on.
Come on.
There's another scripture about reaping and sowing in Galatians. I thought I'd read this.
Yes.
It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. Mm. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life.
Mm.
So here's the hard part of not enabling is let the consequence happen to your children, young or old, that needs to happen.
Right.
Don't go and rescue. Don't be the savior. We already have one.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean like, you know, you're not guiding and instructing. That's
right.
What you're supposed to do. But if your child made a wrong choice.
Yeah.
Rule number one is, they already probably feel bad. Like, I can't.
Once they.
It really kills me when a parent will just like, just
bash.
Dig into that kid
yeah.
for
yeah.
that. And it's like, come on, you know, they.
Yeah.
If a child genuinely. Even the ones that want to have a chip on their shoulder,
sure.
they still know they made the wrong choice.
Right. And they.
And they're already shaming themselves.
They are. And it's hard to get humbled in that yeah. moment, you know.
Somebody has to be humble in the conversation.
Yeah.
So show them that. Show
yeah.
them humility. Show them like, yeah, it's okay. I know you made the wrong choice, but what do we, let's just go over it.
Yeah.
What did we learn? What did you really learn from this? So it's not repeated because I love you. And it was just as painful for me to watch.
No kidding.
Probably more painful.
Oh, yeah.
Than for you to experience that. But I need you to like know that this is the consequence that you have for it.
Right.
And
right.
you're going to get through the consequences.
Yeah.
You're going to get through it.
Uh-huh.
So you always have to constantly teach and instruct. So that's how you empower them.
Yeah.
That's how you empower. You empower by teaching. So again, like you said, it starts when they're young.
Yeah.
So if there's things that you have to always be in a mindset, and there's that scripture about teach them the ways when they wake up into the time that they go to sleep.
Yeah.
That is so true, because as you do that, when they're of that age to get out of your home, they have that strong foundation, of Christ and of being able to know right and wrong, integrity, keeping their word, all of those things. So use every opportunity to teach your child, but don't do for your child. Once you teach them,
yeah.
you show them, allow them to do it.
Even your grown children.
Mm-hmm.
That brings me to this scripture, which I think is a good one to end on. It says in Hebrews 12:11, now no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not about, you know, shaming your young children or adult children, but it's to encourage them, enable them. You know, there's two different enables, enabling a bad way or
yeah.
enabling a good way. Enable them to learn from their mistake by
yeah.
not cleaning up their mistake for them. Let
right.
them clean it.
Right.
You know, empowering.
Yes, because when you sit back, there isn't anything, really, is there anything that can't be fixed, that God can't fix?
Yeah.
I mean, so even if you think you're in the, my child's in the worst possible
situation.
Scenario or situation or trial, teach them to rely on the Lord. Teach them in these moments to don't
go
lean
to
on
the Father.
Do not lean on your own understanding, but on the Lord's understanding. And like the disciples, cry out for help so that he comes in your child's boat to calm their situation, calm their storm.
Yeah, because the parent isn't always going to be there.
Right.
You know, especially when the kids go off to college.
Right. Right. And it's empowering when a child, think about when a child learns something new and they come to you and they're like, Mommy, I did it.
Right.
That's empowering.
Absolutely.
You're empowering that child at that young age. And you just got to keep that going throughout their whole entire time that you have with them.
Yeah, for sure.
Teach them, ask them questions, you know, have them come up with solutions. You know, I try to transition parenting when they come to that age, you know, around 10, 11, 12, like start and now including them in decision making.
Right.
You know, do you think it would be best to do this or to do that? What are you thinking? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, start that makes them their individuality and their own opinions and their way
they're being shaped and molded. Yep. And the good thing about that is they're still under your covering.
Yes.
So you can, when you see them go way too far one way, you could say, okay, well, calm down. Now let's just, get back on track.
Yeah.
Enabling versus empowering.
Yes.
All righty.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Yes.
All right.
We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dr. Kim and Naomi on Uncomplicated Truth Talk. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For any comments or questions, please feel free to contact them at askthecounselors@gmail.com. Until next time, this is Uncomplicated Truth Talk.